You know, I feel like I should apologize. I should start this podcast by apologizing that we don't have any music to open up the podcast. I feel like everybody else's podcast has like a trippy tune to go with it, except this one. You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe I should just open it up by apologizing.
We need a theme song.
We do like need a theme song, you know, because without it, it's just me apologizing at the beginning of every episode, which is fine.
That's a little sad, though. That's a little sad. You shouldn't have to apologize.
I shouldn't have to apologize. It's sort of like my life at home with my wife, but it's good. You know, so I'm sorry that we have no music, and welcome to this week's podcast.
Maybe a listener can make us music. If we have a musically gifted listener, they can send us something we could use as an intro.
Exactly. Make us some music if you're listening to this and you have nothing else to do with your time. My name is Eric Davis. I'm a contributing editor here at Fandango, and the other voice that you're hearing is not my conscious. It is Sean O'Connell, who's here every week. What's up, Sean?
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm doing okay. And we have a lot to talk about this week. We're going to start off, I think, with the Marvel Phase 2. There's been a lot that's been released. Why don't you tell us what's been released and what's going on, and where can we find all this stuff if we have no idea what we're talking about?
All right. Well, the Phase 1 suitcase just dropped on Tuesday, which is Marvel, I guess, putting the final cap on this first wave of films, which included the first two Iron Men, the first Captain America, the first Thor, and of course the Avengers. You've probably heard people talk about the fact that the studio is gearing up for what they're calling Phase 2, and it's officially going to launch with Iron Man 3, which opens on May 3rd. And all of these films are going to build towards the Avengers 2, but before we get to that in 2015, we're going to get Captain America the Winter Soldier, and we're going to get Thor the Dark World, and we're going to get something called Guardians of the Galaxy, which is based on a comic that isn't nearly as popular and doesn't have as many household names as Thor and Captain America. So with this kit that just came out, with this 10-disc box set that just dropped, Marvel is all of a sudden opening up the floodgates to all of this concept art for these sequels that are going to be coming up. Some of them have been filming already. Thor, The Dark World is, I believe, finished filming. And so the stills that we're seeing from that one are finished pictures. But with Cap and with Guardians of the Galaxy, they're concept art images that are giving us an idea of what the visuals might look like. And in checking out some of these, a lot of them dropped today. In checking out some of them, we're able to see what the character that Anthony Mackie is going to play in Captain America the Winter Soldier. He plays the Falcon, and we get an idea of what that looks like for the first time. We get an idea of what the characters in Guardians of the Galaxy are going to look like, because a lot of that is set in outer space. I'm assuming most of the characters, which are alien creatures, one of them is an actual raccoon. They're going to have to be digital creations. So we're starting to get an idea of what that looks like. And in looking at these pictures, I'm totally excited for Captain America, the Winter Soldier. I loved the first Captain America, but it was set in the 1940s. It obviously had to end with him freezing and being brought into modern time. And we saw how he sort of assimilated with a team in the Avengers. But now we have this hero who's sort of totally out of his time frame, totally out of his element, and I'm really excited to see how Marvel treats that character moving forward, because I think that Chris Evans is doing a great job with Steve Rogers, and there are so many exciting places that franchise can go. So in seeing some of the designs for Falcon and in seeing some of the larger concepts that they have of Cap fighting in a big city, there's a shot of like Captain America in costume diving at a jet with a shield in hand. I just think there's a lot of potential for where that character can go.
Yeah. You know, everybody talks about Iron Man in that first phase of movies. And I think Captain America is probably close to being one of my favorites of those solo films, you know, not including the Avengers. Captain America was just a really cool movie. And I, like you, am excited to see where that series goes. Yeah, there's a lot of concept art. And it should be interesting to see, you know, just so you have an idea of when these films are coming. Iron Man 3 is this May. Thor is this November. So we are getting the Thor sequel this year as well. And then after that, we'll see Captain America, I believe, in April of 2014.
Right.
Guardians of the Galaxy is in August of 2014. And of course, The Avengers 2 is in May of 2015. And then in November of 2015, Marvel will begin their Phase 3 with Edgar Wright's Ant-Man. And that's as far as they've announced so far. I imagine, depending on how the sequels to Cap and Thor do, we'll see another set of those. But
so Marvel owns us for the immediate future. Marvel will own us, basically.
They do. And, you know, and I'm interesting. And I wrote about this yesterday about just Disney's film slate in general for 2015. We still don't know for sure if we're going to see Star Wars, but it's pretty incredible. And I don't think we've seen a studio have a potential slate like Disney is lining up for 2015, which is really interesting. But back to the Marvel stuff, yeah, it all looks really cool. Guardians of the Galaxy is the one that's exciting me. There's this one concept image of all of them sitting around a table that, right, that feels very reminiscent of Star Wars and the Mos Eisley Cantina scene with a bunch of creatures on the background. And what's so great about that shot is that you see – You feel like even if you don't know these characters, you know the types of characters they're going to be just in those – in the facial expressions, the way they're holding themselves and their body movements. You just get – it's a brilliant piece of concept art that I will give Marvel credit for. That one shot just kind of introduces us to these characters. Even if we don't know their names, we know the kind of people they are, or the kind of creatures they're going to be. But yeah, that film really excites me.
It's also directed by James Gunn, who I think is an inspired choice. The choices for directors for Phase 2 are really, really exciting. God, I'm blanking on the name of the guy who was hired for – is it Alan Taylor?
From Game of Thrones.
Thor, he does Game of Thrones. And obviously, since he has that in his background, I was able to actually – this is a little humble brag, but I was able to visit the Thor set. And we got to walk through Asgard, and they talked about all the different places that sequel is going to go to, these different worlds that Thor is going to travel to and have to battle in addition to coming to Earth. And in one of the stills, we see Thor in London. But in another still, we see Natalie Portman's character, Jane, and she's clearly in Asgard. So it's great that there are these little teases that Marvel feels very confident to put out there and say, like, you know, this really exciting things are going to be happening in these sequels. And I think they just have so much confidence going into Phase 2 because Phase 1 worked as well as it did. And they're not resting on their laurels, but they definitely feel like they have the ability to pull this stuff off. And I'm so excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see, too, whether or not they can keep this momentum through Phase 2 and into Phase 3. It'll be a test for them to see, you know. And I'm excited about Thor. I felt like the first Thor was a little bit small, even though we were in, Asgard. We were in these different worlds, then we were on Earth. But once they were on Earth, you know, it just felt small. It felt like this small, tiny set somewhere in the middle of the desert. So I'm really interested to see them expand the world, the world of Thor, into different worlds and different characters. And I think there's a lot of potential to kick Thor up a notch with this sequel. And I bet you we see the first trailer for that with Iron Man 3.
Thor, more than the other ones, really felt like it existed to still set up what was going to happen in Avengers. You know, there's so many of those scenes with Coulson, and they just felt like they had to be there so that when they got to Avengers, you knew who was where and why they were in what places they were in.
Yeah,
so.
Same thing with Iron Man 2. I felt like there was a point here where Marvel, I think, was just kind of getting a little clunky in the way they were trying to connect all of these movies. Now that they've done that, it's almost like when you get excited for a sequel because the origin story's already been told, and now you can go play around in this world without having to say, oh, well, this is how this happened, and this is how that happened. So now that they've set up and they've gotten to the Avengers, now Marvel can really have some fun with these Phase 3 movies. So I'm looking forward to them. I'm really looking forward to Iron Man 3. I think they're going to really do a good job with that. And so we'll see. Phase 2 is beginning in May. We'll talk more about it once we see Iron Man 3. Hopefully that'll be soon. But let's move on. This week, Jurassic Park arrives in theaters. It's in 3D. You know, it's one of the my most memorable movie going experience was this film. And if there's any of these films, I'm not a big fan of converting old films to 3D. I don't always say, you know, go to see it, but this is one where it's like, I kind of got to go back to theaters and see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, leading up to it, IndieWire, which is a site that we're fans of, did a big poll with critics on Steven Spielberg's best film, but everything: his best directing job, the best lead performance, the best supporting performance, the best scene, the best shot. I mean, they just went on and on with all of these different categories. It's really cool. We'll put a link to the survey in the post so you can see. But what I wanted to debate with you, or just discuss, Sean, is what is Steven Spielberg's best film?
God, it's impossible. It's so hard. In fact, I bailed on the IndieWire survey because it was so hard to come up with answers for that. And honestly, I think my opinion changes, you know, frequently about what it is. I could point at Jaws and just say that Jaws really is flawless. Like, there isn't an ounce of fat on that movie at all. And the performances are so great and the script is so airtight, and you know, the things that were supposed to go wrong or the things that were problems on that production, of course, you know, leading to a more effective film. I popped it in when the Blu-ray came out recently and revisited it, and probably hadn't sat through it from start to finish in so long, and you just forget like how effective it is from start to finish. But the same thing works for E.T. Like, I pull out E.T. often and watch it with my kids, and it's so amazingly emotional and funny. And, you know, I tend to forget how huge E.T. was when it came out, like in terms of lunchboxes and the Reese's Pieces. And it was just like, you know, the putting your finger out and saying ouch and touching someone on you know, a place where they might be injured. He has so many milestone elements that I think if I had to pick one of like his best films, it would have to be either Jaws or E.T. But then, I mean, how do you overlook something like Jurassic Park? How do you overlook something like Raiders of the Lost Ark? It's staggering, you know, the amount of amazing films this man has put out. And
it's difficult.
If I had to pick, I'd say E.T. Yeah. I think E.T. is his best movie.
It's difficult. The Jaws won the critics poll. I'll go down the top five in the IndieWire poll. Jaws won. Raiders of the Lost Ark 2, Schindler's List 3, E.T. 4, Close Encounters of the Third Kind 5. Really weird for me not even to see Jurassic Park on that list, or even Saving Private Ryan, which is a film that blew me away.
I'd put Jurassic over Close Encounters. Close Encounters is too long for me. It loses its focus a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know, it's difficult with some of like Steven Spielberg, especially for guys like you and I who grew up with all of these films. And to a certain degree, you're like, what's the best film? It's hard to – the line between what's his best film and what's his favorite film and what was right. the best film to watch in a theater. I mean, it all blurs together when you discuss his best film. I mean, yeah, I really agree with you with E.T. You know, if you look at Steven Spielberg over the course of career, he's a filmmaker like no other that knows how to pull emotion out of you. Right. And I feel like E.T. is one of those films that when you look between E.T. and Jaws and you look at the kind of director Steven Spielberg has become over his career, I feel like you look at E.T. and that's a film that really does it all. It not only scares you the way Jaws scares you in a lot of scenes, but it also it pulls those emotions out of you where you're crying and you're just kind of feeling everything at the same time. Especially in those final moments of E.T. So, E.T. is number four on this list, but I feel like you and I would have put this higher.
Yeah, I definitely would have. I'm not sure if it gets the kind of if people support it as well as they should, because maybe they feel it's a little bit too family oriented. Maybe it's a little bit too soft. And so they might gear towards Close Encounters because it's a little bit more serious in terms of his sci-fi. I find it really interesting. We were having a discussion on another website where, you know, we were trying to break down the years that Spielberg did two movies in a row and whether Jurassic was like the last of his truly entertaining and fun popcorn thrillers. Because when he got into sci-fi later and did movies like Minority Report and War of the Worlds, they had much darker tones to them. So what do you think about the later arc of his career? Are there movies that you can point to that live up to the standard of a Jaws? Or when he got into things like The Terminal and Catch Me If You Can, they're fun movies, but are they as good?
Yeah, I don't know if they're as good. War of the Worlds I'm a big fan of. And I'm also a fan of Minority Report. I think it's just a really cool movie. Yeah. So those two films, you know, I'll always trust Steven Spielberg when he goes sci-fi. And right. I was actually looking forward to Robopocalypse, even though it doesn't look like he's going to do it. Right. But yeah, War of the Worlds, I'm a big fan of. But yeah, you know, it's hard for me. Okay, I'll say for me, when you have films that you grew up with that were so huge as a child, and then when you become adult to see the new films, you know, I've watched films like War of the Worlds and Minority Report as I've kind of become an adult. Right. So, you know, when I look back to like E.T. and Raiders and Jaws and Jurassic Park, these are films that I watched as a kid, and they affected me in a way that only a film can affect you as you're a kid. So you're kind of you have those feelings inside of you, and it's hard to separate them from films that you see later on in your life. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, definitely. I do. And in fact, the crowd that I saw Jurassic Park with last night, they were that type of crowd. They were looking for nostalgia. They were looking to be brought back to that time. You know, they cheered the title card when it came up. You know, they jumped at all the right moments with the velociraptors, and they were like mesmerized during the T-Rex scene. And it was just that film holds up. 20 years later, it's as good as any sort of blockbuster that's in theaters right now. And in watching it, I longed for a time when we weren't. You know, it's funny that we're just talking about Phase 2, because so many of our summer blockbusters now are geared towards superheroes, with Man of Steel and Iron Man 3 and all these other comic book blockbusters. But Jurassic came around at a time when people were still sort of exploring original material. I mean, they were adaptations of best-selling books, but they were trying to bring us something that we'd never seen before. Nobody saw an amusement park geared around dinosaurs. And I think it just showed audiences something completely original. You were paying to come see a movie that was going to show you something that you had not seen on the big screen before. And it was truly, truly thrilling.
Yeah, it blew my mind as a kid when I saw Jurassic Park. Like I said, it's one of my most memorable movie-going experiences. I remember seeing it with my dad. And it was – Jurassic Park came around at a time where not only were the effects groundbreaking, but the surround sound mm-hmm. was new too. And we weren't used to – you know, kids growing up these days, they have, you know, thousands of speakers around them, and they just kind of are used to surround sound. But right. you know, back in the olden days, when surround sound was just becoming a thing, you see a film like Jurassic Park in the movie theater, and it feels like the dinosaur is right on your shoulder. Right. I was a teenager, but that movie scared the crap out of me when I was in a theater because of the surround sound, because we were seeing these sorts of effects for the first time. You know, we don't get to experience that these days. We're so used to everything looking real and perfect, and yep. we're just so used to, you know, I long for those days. I long for experiencing something in a theater that just blows my mind because I've never seen it before. Yeah. And I hope Steven Spielberg is the guy that brings me that again.
When he got to Jurassic Park, I think he just felt like he finally understood exactly how to tell that type of story. Like he'd guided audiences through, you know, three different Indiana Jones movies. It was really funny because I was reading about how that year he also put out Schindler's List. And any filmmaker would kill to have either of those titles on their resume. Forget about putting them out in the same year. And it was so interesting to hear him talk about how he didn't have the confidence in himself as a filmmaker to think that he could pull off a serious meditation on the Holocaust. And it's a very personal film, obviously, to him. But when he got to Jurassic, it just felt like, not that he was sleepwalking through it or that he could do it in his sleep, essentially, but he just had such confidence as being able to tell a popcorn blockbuster thriller, you know, a roller coaster ride film. It hums along so beautifully. It hits all the right beats. There are so many places where he just pulls the audience's strings, and he knows that this is how he's going to manipulate them. The whole gimmick of, you know, anticipating the T-Rex because the glass of water, you know, shimmers. It's such a simple trick, but it's something so inspired that when he puts it in there, you just have to sort of tip your hat to him.
I agree. And speaking of Jurassic Park, it is one of the wide releases that we have in theaters this weekend. Also, Evil Dead.
Yes, which I have not seen.
I have not seen Evil Dead either, but
okay.
I was at South by Southwest when it premiered, as were you, I know it's gory. I know people are passing out in the theater. People, they say that, But I was reading tweets last night. You know, the film has been screening all week for critics, and I'm reading tweets last night from people that were literally sitting next to folks who were passing out during the film.
Yeah, and another critic friend of ours said that she thought about potentially walking out during the screening. I never got to ask her why. I didn't know, because she was really looking forward to – this is Christy Puchko, who was looking forward to going. She was all fired up for it, and I don't know – I want to check to see if she was disappointed in it or if it was just too gory for her. Everything I'm hearing about it says that it's not – I mean, maybe it's scary, but I think it goes more for queasy and gory than it does for traditional sort of jump cut thrills. It's really trying to turn your stomach.
Yeah, and I would keep that in mind. That's not to say that people – there are a lot of people that are turned on by that kind of stuff that really like the gory films and that kind of criticize Hollywood for not going there enough. So this is a film that goes there.
Every promo image is a cast member cutting themselves in some way. They're like slicing their tongue in half, or they're, you know, slicing off their cheek. And from what I understand, like one girl uses a shard of glass to cut half of her face off or something like that. So I don't know if that's what you're looking for.
If that is what you're looking for, keep that in mind when you go see the that film this week. And of course, the other one is Jurassic Park 3D. We have a couple of films in limited that are worth seeing, including Danny Boyle's Trance, as well as Shane Carruth's Upstream Color.
Yes.
Those films are in limited release, and they'll probably be expanding out to you within the coming weeks. But in terms of wide release, it's hard for me not to recommend Jurassic Park, especially if you have never seen that on the big screen. It is one of those films, and I know people say this a lot, but Jurassic Park is a film that you have to see on the big screen at least once in your life. If you haven't seen it, by God, go see it this weekend.
And the one thing, too, is that it actually improves the experience. The dinosaurs, which maybe looked a little bit translucent, you know, back in 1993, even if you watch on the Blu-ray, they're improved. They're perfected in this. The sound is even better. The 3D really works. It gives it a great depth of focus. It's a better version of a nearly flawless movie. And so, yeah, you absolutely have to go see it this weekend.
Cool. Sean, thank you very much again this week, and go see Jurassic Park. That's kind of where we're at right now. So, yeah, thanks a lot, Sean, and we'll see you guys next week where we have a busy April coming up. We have Scary Movie 5. We have 42. We have Oblivion. We have my most anticipated movie of the year, Michael Bay's Pain and Gain. We have a busy April, folks. Gear up. Have fun. The summer is coming. Oh, we are stoked. We'll see you next week.